Thank you, brother. Wow. Great to be with you. This doesn't mean anything, by the way, okay? It's just I brought along to impress you. I do need, Dennis, I need it to be plugged up. I need a new battery. And so is there one right here? Where is it? I see a whole bunch of wires and a whole bunch of plugs. Somebody help me. I'll let you go with that. Wow, what a blessing. Yeah, I did. I checked this guy out before he got here. And, you know, it was neat because the Lord... Are we good? Oh, here it is. Okay. All sorts of things that you learn here at Fellowship Bible Church. So, my administrative assistant was his uncle, you know, and so we're hearing this fella, you know, Jason and Amber, his wife, are thinking about coming to fellowship, that kind of thing, you know, and so I was like, well, they're from the St. Louis area, but that's all I know. And then some good friends of ours who have come to our camp years and years and years, a fellow named Jody Brookeen knew the Alley Goods. Did you guys have a Bible study together, or did you?
Kids played soccer together.
Oh, okay. Kids played soccer together. He knew where he was there in at Wildwood or that area, and this man said, "Jason's great. They're getting a man of God." And oh, by the way, this Jody Brookeen has written a book on fatherhood and men and men's ministry, and that's kind of his focus. So, and if my reputation, Dorothy, good to see you. Great. Pardon me, squirrel. If my reputation doesn't say anything about it, okay, he's been here, what, a little bit over a year, right? I was here for 10 and a half. Nobody ever put my sermons on WP. Okay, so enough said. With that, in fact, why don't you just preach today, brother? Great to be with you, though. What a blessing. Thank you for the invite. Thank you, thank you, thank you for your wonderful, ongoing, continual support. For us and with us. You are with us in the ministry. I don't know if you knew this or not. I'm still a member of Fellowship Bible Church. And the reason is because I wanted to be, even though you don't see me very often, I wanted to continue to be a part of you. I wanted to be an extension of your ministry. And that's exactly what the Lord has done for 15 years. Can you believe that? 15 years we've been gone. Incredible. And it's so great to see your faces. I know some have gone on to be with the Lord. I see Pearl over here. You know, precious husband, Otho, is with the Lord. But one day we'll join. I miss these people. But hallelujah, we're going to be together again. Don't have to worry or wonder, you know. He is able to keep those that he's brought to himself, right? So, great to see you this morning. Turn with me in the scripture, because that's more important than any words I could share with you or greetings I could bring to you. To John chapter 15. John 15. I want to talk about this morning joy. Do you have joy? I've been in a lot of churches in the last 15 years. I've been around thousands of Christians. Not many Christians. have joy. Now, don't misunderstand me. I'm not talking about, you know, happy, slappy, Bradley won the ball game. Well, probably should use a more true illustration, shouldn't I? Kentucky won the ball game. Right? Not that kind of. Now, that's happy. You know, I mean, I like watching golf. I used to like playing it. But, you know, Bubba Watson wins the Masters. By the way, my son, Ryan, is, I went, Joe Ryan. I always say Ryan or just, Ryan is associate pastor in Augusta, Georgia, okay? He's as far as from here to Panera Bread down here from the corner of Augusta National Golf Course, okay? And he actually went this past year to a Masters. It's the hardest ticket ever for any sporting event to get into. His senior pastor has, his wife grew up there in Augusta, and they have tickets. And, you know, he went the last day. And I thought to myself, what a waste. I could be there and fully enjoying this. You know, he didn't care anything about golf, you know. He said, by the way, you don't need to go. He said he couldn't see anything. There were so many, 40,000 people, and they can't stand, you know, if you're in behind somebody, you can't stand up. You know, so he's 6'4". He couldn't even see anything, you know. But I'm not talking about that, you know, that kind of, yay, Bubba Watson won again, you know, kind of joy. No, I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about something that surpasses, you know, just happy. Right? Gary and Cindy, surpasses, and Shostrom's, riding on the Appalachian Trail on a couple of hogs or whatever you guys have. Okay? It's past that. It's better. This thing called joy. Do you have joy? Be glad in the Lord, you righteous ones. Now, remember where we're admonished about this, okay? Over in Galatians chapter 5, 22 and 23, it says, the fruit of the Spirit is, okay, don't look at this. Don't look at it. Quote it with me. Love. Self-control. Excellent. Good job. Good job. I know some of you were peeking over my shoulder, but good job. Now, that second one is joy. You know, love is agape, and it really out of all of that comes this kind of fruit that we're talking about. Love and joy. Now, I want to help some of you that weren't able to do all of that, okay? So, if you were driving down the road and you saw one of those vanity license plates, I love what Illinois does. Illinois doesn't cost, at least it didn't used to. Then if you put a number in it, the East didn't cost extra to have that. Is that still the same? It's not? Yeah, they're getting money out of you now, aren't they? I don't know if you remember, mine was Rev FWG1, and I didn't have to pay extra, okay? But if you were going down and you see one of those vanity plates, and it looks like that, I want you to answer for me. What would you think that's saying? Okay, at least you got the package right. Okay, let me help you a little bit. It's a fruit distributor. I hear it. Package figs, right? Okay, that is how I remember the fruit of the Spirit. Now, most of us, go to the next one, Dennis. Most of us remember those first three, right? Love, joy, peace. I mean, when we're you know, if we've been a Christian any length of time. But then we start going, patience, right? Here's how I remember it. PKG, which is patience, kindness, goodness. Now, you're going to ask me, wait a minute, there's a G. There's another G, too. Okay, all I can help you there is you just have to remember the G-O comes before the G-E, okay? So, patience, kindness, goodness, and then the next one, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. I hope that helps you. Because, you know, it's great for us to know the Word. It's great for us to be able to quote the Word. But more importantly than that, what is great about hiding the Word of God away in our heart is that in the times when we're just driving or we're just, you know, meditating or whatever, the Lord can cause these things to revolve in our mind, you know. So that's the fruit of the Spirit. Now, the one that we're focusing on is that second one up there. It is joy, okay? And that's why I've had you turn to this particular passage, because look what it says there in verse 11. John 15, verse 11. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you, and that your joy may be made full. Now, I want to speak just a little bit more about that word joy, because it's part of the fruit of the Spirit. It is what we as Christians should be having. It's what we should be exhibiting, but not many are. Not many have much joy. Let me tell you about the word. Now, my sister right here, what's your name? Karis. You know what? It's almost exactly that word. Okay? She will tell you, is your middle name Grace? So, do you know really what her name is? Grace Grace. Because you knew that. Because Karis means grace. But listen, very, very close to it is the word joy. It is kara. Okay? It's the very same few initial letters, but then, and if you're looking it up in a, in like a concordance or a Strong's, you know, dictionary or something like that, it's just pretty close behind it. And in fact, grace and joy are so intricately tied that you hardly can separate them, all right? But, when we go back one, brother, to love, joy, you know what that could be? That could be love, grace, peace, almost, because they're so close. But I hope you understand the nuance of it, though, the difference there, because grace is what God does for us. I mean, you know, we've heard it. God's riches at Christ's expense, unmerited favor. All those are good, okay? But joy is the outworking of grace, okay? In other words, because of His grace, we have joy. But they're so close that it's you could interchange them, okay? So He wants that kind of feeling. Now, it's more than an emotion, but it is an emotion, all right? Most of the time, we get it real confused with kind of happy, slappy, you know, things I was telling you earlier, okay? But it's more than that. There's a fullness to it. There's an understanding. And He says that my joy may be in you. Go back to that one, Dennis. Okay, I'm sorry, keep going forward. It's the next one, that one. That my joy may be in you, and that your joy may be full. So not only do Christians not have joy many times, He says, I want it to be full joy. Okay? And surely if we're not experiencing just plain old joy, we're not going to be having full joy. Right? So let me talk about that. There's a passage in John chapter 12 where Jesus, before he goes and does his triumphal entry and all of that, he has visited his good friends. Remember Mary and Martha and Lazarus? And it says that Mary, I think it's in verse 3 there, Mary opened up this bottle of ointment. The scripture says pure nard. Now, evidently, it was a very concentrated smell. You know, it had a very sharp aroma, because it says that when she opened it and she started applying it to the Lord and pouring it on his feet, pouring it on his head, it said the odor, what? Filled the room. Can you smell it? This is really a bad negative illustration of it, but somebody hits a skunk. You know? And not only do you smell it for the next 3 months, right? Everybody in the whole community, they smell it, right? That's the idea of fullness. I thought about bringing some perfume or something to open it up and let it just fill the room. Then I thought, you know what? Somebody would be allergic and then be going to the bathroom, you know, throwing up or something. So just imagine with me, okay? I want my joy to be in you and that your joy may be full. Now, let me remind you where we are here in John chapter 15, okay? This is right 12 hours later. The Lord is going to be persecuted. He's going to be crucified. This is the Last Supper. The way theologians or biblical students call it, they call it the farewell discourse, okay? And it starts over there, you know, chapter 13, whatever, but we kind of jump into the middle of it, and I want us to read it now, okay? Look at verse 1, chapter 15, verse 1. I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes it, that it may bear more fruit. You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Abide in me and I in you. Now, starting here at verse 4, I want you to listen. What word do you hear repeated over and over and over again? Okay, starting 4 again. Abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, so neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him, he bears much fruit. For apart from me, you could do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away as a branch, he dries up, and they gather them, and they cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish, it shall be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, and so prove to be my disciples. Just as the Father has loved me, I have also loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. 10 times you heard the word. What is it? Abide. That's right. So, there, folks, is the key. The Lord said, these things I have spoken so that my joy can be in you and your joy will be full joy. Do we need full joy? Folks, in my lifetime, okay, I'm 57. I came here when I was 33. 24 years ago, okay? Just flew by. But in my lifetime, I have watched our country go from a sexual sin being unspoken, you didn't even talk about it, okay, to now fully accepted, certainly not by Christians, but I mean in our society, and if you say anything, you're homophobic, you're hateful, right? In fact, and I saw that you retweeted one of my tweets one time, or favored it anyway, I said, preachers, beware, in the very near future, we are going to be persecuted by saying what the Bible says about that, listen to me, sexual sin. Okay? Not a choice. Sexual sin. There are some of you in here right now that are even, because of what our culture has done to us, that are even questioning what I'm saying. Okay? I'm just speaking what the Scripture says. Okay? So, folks, we, as Christians, are increasingly becoming less favorable to people out in our world. Oh yeah, you're one of those. You know, you're because you say you believe what the Bible says, you're this freak or something, right? So as much out there that would create maybe despair, hopelessness to us. But the Lord says, you can have joy, right? Remember, now, I gave you the context of this. What's going to happen to him in just a few hours? Okay, he's going to face and he's going to experience, as Joel's already told us, the most cruel of executions. And yet he's talking here about joy. Well, how could Jesus then say, my joy, I want my joy to be in you? How could he do that? Has to be something beyond what, you know, just, you know, yay, we won. It's something deeper than that. It's joy. And the key is all of those times that he said it, to abide. Okay, then let's hit the next point. This is what abide means. Oh, by the way, the Greek word here is meno. M-E-N-O. You know, I had some guy, I said, do you know what that means? He said, little fish. Sounds like a Rich Sutton answer to me, right? No. It means to abide. It means to be around. It means, and I love this, just hanging with Jesus. Now remember, we're talking about the branches and the fruit and the, you know, just hanging with Jesus. Now, I've already told them that I'm going to do this, but I want to illustrate this, okay? So, Laura, would you come up, please? And Pastor Jason, would you come up? And Steve, would you come up? Okay. Laura, stand over there on that side, okay? Pastor Jason, would you stand right here? And Steve, would you stand right here? I want to teach you and help you to understand what it means to abide, okay? Pastor Jason, when was the first time that we ever saw one another face to face?
Yesterday.
That's right. Last night.
Last night.
Now, are we friends?
Yes.
Do you love me?
I do.
I do too. I love you also. So how can that happen? I mean, we've just kind of, now, would you say that we're really close friends?
We're getting there.
That's right.
Yeah.
Good answer. But we haven't spent very much time together, right? I mean, you've read some of my tweets. We've maybe had some, talked on the phone. We've had some interaction. Okay, so, all right. Now, Brother Steve, how long have we known each other?
20-some years.
20? 25 years.
Yes.
Are we friends?
Yes.
Do you love me?
I do.
I love you also.
Praise the Lord.
Let me ask this. Do we talk every day?
No.
We don't, do we? Frequently, sometimes through Facebook or through phone or something like that. Maybe that. Maybe not the word frequently. Infrequently. Occasionally.
Yes.
We talk.
Yes.
But we're still friends.
Yes.
Absolutely. We still love one another.
Absolutely.
Right.
Yes.
We have a relationship.
Yes.
Well, I've got a relationship with Jason. Right.
Yes.
But my relationship with Steve is a little deeper than my relationship. Now, why would that be the case? Yeah. The time I've known him a lot longer. Okay. Are you my friend?
Yes.
Do you love me?
Yes.
I love you too.
Yay.
Now.
Now, he didn't do that. Just me.
Okay. So, yeah, and they're saying, thankfully. So now, how long have we known each other?
33 years.
That's right. Are they your friends?
Yeah. Yep.
But do you have a kind of friendship with them that you have with me?
Nope.
Right. Okay, now, follow my illustration on all of this, okay? Every Christian in here, when the Lord says, abide with him, okay? Just hanging with Jesus. That means, well, the Lord says, draw near to me and I'll draw near to you. So every Christian here, if you know Jesus Christ, you have this relationship right here, right? It may be just brand new, but you still have that love relationship, right? But because it's new, it's not super deep. I mean, it's loving, you know, it's caring. Some of you have with the Lord this relationship, right? Now, why is the relationship different from this relationship and this one? You know, it's time and relationship and getting to know each other and walking through difficult things together. Now, he has that ongoing and continuing and increasing relationship with him, right? Just like we did when I was here. But now, very few Christians have this relationship. And that's the key to your joy. Thank you, guys. Thank you. How much time do you spend with the one you love? You know, Laura and I talk. Steve and I don't talk every day. Laura and I talk every day. We have fun together. We have an ongoing relationship with each other, right? That's abide. Now, you can have not so close abiding or just a introductory abiding. You can have a deeper abiding, or, in fact, you know what? The Lord wants that relationship to be even deeper than what I have with my wife. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and then all these other things will be added unto you, right? So, where are you this morning in this hanging with Jesus? In Mark chapter 3. Oh, by the way, Mark 1. Mark 2 and 3. They remember it. I taught them through the book of Mark. Okay, we had a little rhyming outline. Mark 4, four parables. Mark 5, power alive over demons, disease, and death. Mark 6, six opportunities, feeding the 5,000. There's all these things. Some of you remember it. It's been over 15 years since you asked me. Some of you, yeah, you're right. I don't remember any of it. But Mark chapter 3, where the Lord picks his disciples, right? I think it's about middle way of the chapter or whatever. Anybody got it? Anybody looking at it? Mark 3. I want somebody to read it for me. Mike, have you got it there? Read it for me, brother. The very first one where it says he's choosing them. Or whatever it says there. Yeah, okay.
And he went up on a mountain and called to him those whom he desired, and they came to him. And he appointed 12, whom he also named apostles.
Okay, that's good right there. Did you see what it said? It said, his. What version are you using?
ESV.
Okay, it says he came to him. Mine says, so that they might be with him. You see, that's what they wanted to do. They wanted, that's what Jesus wanted them to do. They wanted to hang with him. You know, my kids, some of you teenagers, you know, I'll call Justin, my youngest. I'll say, hey, buddy, what you doing? Just hanging. You know, like, I get this image, you know, he's up here on a coat rack. Just hanging, you know. But, you know, in the modern day vernacular, they understand. It's just, what does that mean? I'm just hanging. It means I'm just being around. I'm just being present. I'm just remaining. I'm just, you know, if we got that neighbor, let's say, and we're trying to witness to them or whatever, and they come over, but they just won't leave. You know, I didn't want you to be here past midnight. You know, it's like, and you know, what we would say, you know, why are they still hanging around? Right? In other words, just being present. You know, so here's how you know if you're abiding. How do I know? Verse 10, look what it says. Hit the next one, brother. If you keep my commandments, what does it say? You will abide in my love. So there's the key. Now, if to have this full joy that we've been talking about is to abide, then I need to know how to abide, right? And here it says to keep my commandments. And you will abide in my love, just as I've kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. Okay, go to the next one, brother. And the one who keeps his commandments abides in him, and he in him. And we know by this that he abides in us. So how do I know if I'm abiding? Are you keeping his commandments? Because that's how you know. By this we know if we're abiding in him. So here's another reason why maybe you're just at this relationship, although you have been a professing Christian for 30 years, is because you've not been obedient to the Lord. The Lord tells you, do this. You're like, no, Lord, I don't want to do that today. Get up. Spend time with me. Oh, Lord, it's a whole lot better in this bed. You need me today. I know, Lord, but I'm so tired. You know, we get behind somebody really slow. Or they don't go at the light as soon as it turns green. You know, the Lord's saying, you need me right now. I know, Lord, but you're in the line at Walmart. 42 checkout lines. They have two people checking out. And everybody's lined up. You guys do what I do. You know, I get in this line. And then I make a marker over there in that line. And then I watch them, you know, to see if I'm going to be behind them. Did I go up first? Oh, no. You know, and then you get up there, you know, and the person in front of you, you know, they're from Zimbabwe. And they have a check, you know, price check, you know. And it's like, ah, you know, there goes your joy. Right. The Lord wants us to be, go back to that whole list again, what? Patient and just You know? Let his spirit. So, the more that I obey and I'm obedient, then that relationship moves from just the introductory one to a deeper relationship, right? But like Steve and I admitted, we don't talk daily. That's the way some Christians are. I know the Lord has saved me, and I know I need him. You know, but we don't talk to him daily. Consequently, we don't know what his word said. Consequently, we don't have his power. Consequently, we don't, you know. But the more that we grow, and by the way, this whole process, the Lord says, being confident of this very thing, which this thing called the Christian life that I began in you, I will complete until the day of Jesus Christ, right? But the more and more and more we get over here, then we have a deeper relationship. We have a fuller relationship. We have a greater love relationship. Okay, so go to the next one now, brother. Here's what I've been trying to teach you. First of all, how do we know we abide? We obey his commands. Okay, so then when we abide, the scripture here says we bear fruit. And then when we bear fruit, we have joy. That's the best I know to tell you about how to survive in this world that's hopeless, that's despair, that doesn't have any joy. And guess what? That kind of person is very attractive. You'll have people coming to you and saying, you know what, you're different. And it's not that you're just, you know, I mean, deliver us from all the guys, you know, that wake up with a spring in their step and, you know, you want to smack them, you know. I mean, not that, okay, but there is a contentment, settledness of joy, you know, in a life. For instance, we're over staying at the missionary house at Cornerstone. And there's another missionary from Lebanon over there. And all that they do, this guy named Tim Gentry, all that they do is in Lebanon is they hand out Bibles, give Bibles, and then just hang with them. You know, they're just in the culture with them. And he said that a guy came up to him, he said, you know, the sheiks, they all want, you know, when they come around, they want money. You guys don't want that. What have you got that they don't have? This is a Muslim, you know. That's the kind of Christian that the Lord wants us to be. My joy will be in you. And your joy will be made full. Full joy. Now, you noticed when we taught this, or when we read this, that there was some words in here about being having fruit, right? We are fruit bearers. So go to the next one, brother. I want to give you a word about this. Now, hit the next, Dennis. Look what Mark 4:8 says. You don't have to turn there. Just read it up here. It says, and other seeds fell into the good soil, and as they grew up and increased, they yielded a crop. And they produce 30 and 60 and 100 fold. This is the Lord's parable about the sowing of the seeds. Remember that? And some of them fell on rocky ground. Some of them fell off the side. Some of them fell on, you know, weedy ground. But then some were on good soil. And then notice it says they yielded a crop. They, in other words, they bore fruit. Some 30, some 60, some 100 fold. Now, I want you to see this right here now in John chapter 15. So, go to the next, brother. When we're born again, That's that first relationship, right? We bear fruit. I mean, it may not look very pretty. It may not be very much, but there is fruit. Why is there fruit? Because there's life. I mean, it may just look like a tiny little bud that is showing some possible future fruit, okay? But that's there. All right. That's like the 30-fold. But then notice, would you, look at verse 2. It says, every branch of me, oh, in fact, we're going to come back to that one. Go to the middle of it. Every branch that bears fruit, what does he do? He prunes it. Why does he prune it? So it bears more fruit. Laura and I, when we left here, we moved to just north of South Bend, Indiana. Okay? It's in Michigan, and it's down in the very southwest corner. Honey, there are a whole bunch of things around us. What are they? Fruit farms. 40,000 acres of fruit farms. Did you guys, now the Sharms will know this, but did you realize 85% of the world's production of Bing cherries are made right there in that little corner of Michigan? Okay? 85%, not the countries, the world's. It's because of the climate, the soil, all that in this perfect balance. It's just great. In fact, they've just come in, right, honey? The cherries. So, a fella, I'm helping teach a series at our church up in Michigan, and the other teaching pastor was telling me about a conversation he had with one of those fruit farmers. He said he had a cherry tree in his house, but he wasn't getting any cherries. Or the cherries he were getting, they weren't good cherries. They just didn't have any quality to it. Guess what the fruit farmer told him? He said, that's right, you guys know where I'm going. He says, you got to stress it. He says, what? He says, you've got to cut that thing, pare that thing down some, and it almost looks like you're even taking it away completely. It's almost like you're cutting its life out of it, but you've got to stress it. You know what he did? He did that. Guess what he had the next year? Bountiful, beautiful, quality cherries. Do you see the parallel, brothers and sisters? Okay, we come to Christ. We're fruit bearers now, because life is flowing through us. But the Lord doesn't want you to be just a 30-fold fruit bearer. He wants you to be a 60-fold fruit bearer. So what does he do? He stresses you. He cuts some things out of you. Lord, I know what 1 Corinthians 10:13 says, but you got to stop. Or else I'm not going to make it. I thought, Jason, the older I would get, the better that gets. Not in my experience. It gets harder. The stress is deeper. I mean, we've got some family stresses, you know, that are hurtful. And the Lord says, out of this is coming the peaceful fruit of righteousness. Whew. You know what, guys? Preach this back at me sometime. Because when you're in the throes of it, when you're in the middle of it, a wayward child, a sickness that's taken the life out of you, a divorce. I didn't want to be divorced. Lord is stressing you. Cutting it out. Don't quit. He hasn't abandoned you. more fruit is coming. Just wait. Takes a little time. More fruit's coming. And guess what? It's not stopped there. Then, what does fruit do? You know, I would watch, sometimes I'd watch my dad take like old corn stalks and he would cut them down, you know, and he'd just plow them up in this field. And I'm like, that's not a great place to grow any more corn. It's all yucky out there. But no, that stalk, that it all would die and seep back in. And so what brought us a lot of fruit, delicious corn that we eat, you know, we had some at the Alley Goods last night, what does it produce now? More fruit. Much fruit, it says here in the Scripture, right? Much fruit. So, when that happens, look what he says. By this, verse 8, my Father, is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit, and so be my disciples. When we've come to that level, the Lord is glorified. And in fact, folks, what is it? Why is it we're here on this earth? You know, whether we eat or drink or whatever we do, what? Do all to glorify God. That's right. And we prove to be his followers, his disciples. All those apostles, you know, that walked with him, this kind of thing. And how did we really know that they were Jesus followers? They ain't quit. They persevered. They kept going. Others looked at them. Others said, if he can do it, I can do it. You know, they were examples. They proved that they were the disciples. They proved they were Jesus followers. I want to tell you guys, wow, I look at your faces, Steers, I look at you guys. That's Jesus followers. And they've done it a long time. You know, Rich and Kate, Jesus followers. You know, Shones, Jesus followers. Clausens, Holmes, on and on. Jordans, Chip, Melody and Earl. Jesus followers. Proving to be my disciples. Why? You don't quit. Lord brings strength. Rich, have you ever had stress in your life? Anytime, brother? All the time. Jerry Falwell was my mentor, and he said this. He was the most positive man I ever met. But he said, Wilson, for every good day, I have 4 bad days. I don't know of a more positive man than Rich. You know, encouraging. You know, sometimes, brother, in heart of hearts, by yourself, man, it's tough. I remember when we went to France. Rich said, you know, Pastor, I've been having some tough time of emotion, some depression, whatever. But you know what, folks? That's the Christian life. And he says, I don't quit. I want my joy to be in you and your joy to be full. Right? And then one day, hallelujah. Now, here's a couple of warnings. Here's some things that I want you to understand. I want you to understand a couple of takeaways. One thing's not a takeaway on this. First of all, look with me, verse 2. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And then, verse 6, if anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away as a branch. He dries up, they gather him, they cast him into the fire, and they are burned. There might be some of you here, you're not even a part of the vine. and you have no life flowing through you, and you're dead, and I just want to warn you, what all of that means in that parallel, it's not good. Okay, so come to the Savior. Join the vine. The vine dresser, our Father, invites you. Okay? But true Christian, true vine, true fruit bearer. Okay? Here's what I don't want you to take away from this. Oh, okay. All I have to do is obey and do the best I can, and I ain't going to ever have any problems anymore. That's not the takeaway from this message, okay? What was Jesus about to experience? The most difficult time of his entire physical life, right? And Jesus was 1,000% obedient. So folks, the enemy wants you to think that God is unjust. His mission statement is, by the way, in John chapter 10, I think you're going to be teaching this. He comes to steal, kill, and destroy. And he's a liar. Don't believe his lies. Okay? The Lord says, abide. Obey me. Obey me more. Obey me much. And my joy will be in you, and your joy will be made full. That's the best I can do. Let's be joyous Christians. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for your word. Thank you for what you teach us. And Lord, there's some brothers and sisters in here that need to school me, because, Lord, they are bearing a whole lot more fruit than I'm bearing. And Father, they have incredible obedience. Lord, I'm still learning. But Father, let us, as Christians, let us have joy. Because Lord, we, those of us that are believers, we really do want to be your disciples. We really do want to be lovers of Christ. We want to be followers. We want to prove that we're followers. So thank you, Lord. Help us to have joy. Help us to have full joy. In Jesus' name, amen.